and show us the answers that we need. We love you, and we just thank you, Father, for all you do for us now. Take the questions and take the Word of God through the Spirit of God and open it up and give us what you'd have us to have tonight. In Jesus' name, for sake we ask it. Amen. I want to welcome everybody tonight, everybody on YouTube. As you already have been doing it all night, turning your volleyball applications into Jamie. Danny's out of town, so she'll be collecting them tonight afterwards too, so make sure that you get those in there. My first question here has to do with 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. And these books cover, the question is, they why do they seem to cover the same ground, but they're four different books? Originally, they were all called the Kings. And later on, then, Chronicles became, but the Chronicles is the Chronicles of the Kings. And I'll just give you a brief understanding here so that when you get in it and you read it, you have a little understanding of what you're dealing with. And now, 1 and 2 Kings cover a different aspect than 1 and 2 Chronicles, though they're covering the same time period. It's a lot like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, except there you got four covering the same time period. Here you have two covering the same time period. But here's what you need to understand, and you need to get this at the beginning of Kings. I put it at the beginning of 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and then when I give you what the Chronicles and say, 1 and 2 Kings covers the same time period of 1 and 2 Chronicles, but with a different emphasis, and this is the key. And this is why you're going to find the similarities, the same, a lot of times the same events, situations, but with a different emphasis. And this is where you need to do it. And so you want to put that there at the 1 Kings, and I'd also put it there at 1 Chronicles so you can have it back and forth. Now, here's what you want to remember. 1 and 2 Kings covers the nation of Israel. Remember now, Israel is split. Israel is split in two. You have the 10 northern tribes, which is called Israel. Then you have the two southern tribes, which is called Judah. And you're going to find that in 1 and 2 Kings, it covers the time period, but the emphasis is on the 10 kings or the 10 northern tribes. And that's where, when you read 1 and 2 Kings, the emphasis is dealing with those particular kings. Now, when you get into 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles, you're dealing with the same time period, but now we're dealing with the kings of the southern kingdoms, which is Judah. So you want to remember that when you're looking at it, that that's the bottom line of what you're dealing with in these four books. The time period is the same, but the emphasis is on the different kings. You'll have one set of kings for the northern tribes, and you'll have another set of kings for the southern tribes. And this is what you want to remember, that the difference is between the first two books and the second two books. There's a book, it's been way out of print, but I mentioned it before, and some of you have found it online. But it's just a small book, and it's called The Kings of Israel and Judah. And if I remember right, it's by a guy by the name of K-N-A-P-P, Knapp, whatever the case. And I don't know where I found the book. I found it 30, 40 years ago. And it was the best book I ever found understanding how to break the 1 and 2 Kings down and 1 and 2 Chronicles down. And the book had so much information in it, I just had to let it sit for several years. I just didn't have the time to do it the way I wanted to do it. And I remember, I don't remember where I was going, but it was a long flight. It was one of our missionary type deals. And I brought that book along, and I knew I had now about 12 hours or so that I didn't have anything to do. So as soon as that plane rolled down the runway and wheels up, you know, I went to work on it, and 12, 13, 14 hours later when we landed, I had it done. And I went through that, and the way I did it, and I even have a note here, I wanted to separate the kings of Judah from the kings of Israel. And I knew that they were separated by the books. But you're going to find where sometimes they interface. So when I started coming through his book, and let me tell you, he does not only does he give you a background of each king, he also goes to the book of Proverbs and gives you the proverb that goes along with that particular king. I mean, he did a great job. But I wanted it in my mind, so if I ever had to teach it or just read it for myself, I wanted to come up with a system that I would be able to keep them separate. So as I came through these four books, all the kings of Judah, I listed A, B, C, D, E, F, G. All the kings of Israel, I listed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and right on down the line. There's 33 for Judah, and there's 33 for Israel. And what I did was, is I wanted to break it down where whenever I found it, immediately by my numbering system, I would know if it was the king of Judah or the king of Israel. And but primarily, if you ever want to get it really broken down, and maybe you'll never want to, but I had to for me, that is the best book that you'll ever get your hands on. And you know, it's a thing where you probably buy it on eBay if you can find it for $2-3, but it is worth $2,000-3,000 as far as I'm concerned, on the material it has. I've never seen a book with a guy. The guy did a job like he did on laying it out, and to the extent that, and it's so easy too. It wasn't hard. You just worked through the beginning and work right through it. But the thing for tonight that you want to remember is the fact that 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, they cover the same time period and a lot of the same events, but the emphasis will be in 1st and 2nd Kings. It'll cover Israel, the 10 northern tribes is where the emphasis is, even though you will find kings of Judah in there. And then 1st and 2nd Chronicles, it deals with the southern tribes. So just keep that in the back of your mind when you do it, and that's what you're dealing with. It's one of those things that really help you. You know, and it's just like this. I'm going to try to clean up some of the back questions tonight. And get into it, since I answered that, come over to John chapter 18. I got this question that came in, and this is a good point of what we just looked at. And the question is in John 18:10, and the question is, it says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear, and the servant's name was Malchus. And the question was that in John 18, it tells you that it is Peter. But in the other accounts, it just says one of the 12. And the question was, why does it say Peter here, but doesn't name him in the other places? And obviously, you know, wanted to know the spiritual significance of that. Well, the spiritual significance of that is this is how the Gospels are put together. And I've told you this before, you're going to find places where, just like this, that in the other accounts it doesn't give the name Peter, but in John 18 it does give the name Peter. You're going to also find that in the different stories in the Gospels, one place will tell you it was one angel, the other place will tell you that it was two angels, and then when you get all the accounts together, you'll find out there was three of them. And in other words, and the question comes up, why does he do it that way? Well, the obvious question is to study to show thyself approved. If God put a gospel together that you had everything that was right there, you wouldn't read the other three. And, you know, his mind is, he knows how we are. So he wrote the gospels much like he wrote 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles. That you got to understand what he's doing to get everything that you want to get out of it. You got to study all four of them, whether it's 1st Kings, 2nd Kings, and 1st Chronicles, 2nd Chronicles, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the way that he put it together that would have us to be the really the ones that we study the way that we need to study it. And when you do that, then he begins to pull it all together for us. And let me be honest with you. He knows how lazy we are and what human nature is. And if he just would have put it all in one, if actually he did the whole Bible that way, you know, that you've got to compare all the books and you get some of it here, some of it there. He doesn't always give it to you here. And of course, he knows human nature, that if he'd have given you one gospel, that he'd have put everything in it the way you get with all four. Nobody would ever read the other three. And it's the importance of getting all four of them together and seeing how one of them represents the Christ one way, another one represents Christ the other way, another one represents Christ the third way, and another one represents Christ the fourth way. When you understand that and you put them all together, that's when you get a complete understanding of what's going on. So, hey, I appreciate questions like that, because those are questions that people that are beginning to break into the Bible, those are the kind of questions that they see it, they ask, and then when you can answer it like that, the way I just did, it gives them a better perspective of next time you get into the Gospels, why you're reading it the way it's reading it, and why he doesn't always give you everything in one book. So, you know, that's very important. The next question that came in, it really wasn't a question. You know, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago when I talked about Ash Wednesday, when Ash Wednesday kicked off that day. And I got an email from one of our ladies in the church here that did a little research on it on her own after that night. And what she found out was the fact that when she kind of searched it out on the web or whatever she did on it, it actually said that Ash Wednesday was not just used by the Catholics, but it was also used by Protestant groups, but also was used by Baptist and Anabaptist in history. And obviously, you know, the question comes up when you read something like that, and the answer to that is so very simple. First of all, there are Protestant groups that did that and probably still do. You're going to find that some of the ultra-list Catholic Protestant groups will practice that too, because they're all connected to the Catholic Church. They all came out of the Catholic Church in the Reformation, and the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more they all go back together. So you start to see that. But let me just say this, and this is a great point, and I'm glad that you sent me that, and I wanted to address that tonight. This is what you find and why you got to be careful with what you read. I guarantee you there was never an Anabaptist or a Baptist that ever practiced Ash Wednesday in any way, shape, or form. Never happened. And but here's what has happened. The Catholic Church, once Martin Luther's Reformation took hold and the Catholic Church began to lose all her steam and lost all her power and lost all of her influence. Shortly thereafter, when I say shortly thereafter, like maybe 100 years later, certainly, you know, when you say shortly thereafter, it doesn't mean 20 minutes after Martin Luther nailed his thesis on the door they started this. It was through the process of time. The Catholic Church starts what we know as the Counter-Reformation. The Counter-Reformation was was the Catholic Church trying to counter what they had lost with Martin Luther in the Reformation. One of the things that they did, and there's a number of things that they did, is by this time the Jesuits were in full force, and the Jesuits, the best way to explain the Jesuits for everybody to understand it, is they are portrayed as a high spiritual order within the Catholic Church that is very elite, and all this is true. But if you wanted to put it into an understandable format, the Jesuits are what we would have in our country like the CIA. They are the ultra Catholics that are all trained as educators. And what the Catholic Church did was begin to start Catholic schools that were run by the Jesuits. Now, there's one right here in Kansas City, down here, downtown here. I forget the name of it, but it's a Jesuit-run school. And you find them sporadically all through Europe and all through America in time. The Jesuits come over with the French, and their headquarters is down in New Orleans there in Loyola University. And that's where their headquarters in America, which is all Roman Catholic. In fact, in all the other states in America, we have Jackson County, you know, Platte County. Down in Louisiana or New Orleans, it's not counties, it's parishes, because they're built on the Roman Catholic system down there. And the next thing that they did is they began to, this is called the Oxford Movement. Oxford and Cambridge at this time in England was the two major universities that were in existence within England. And at that particular point in time, they were Bible-believing as much as they could be. Well, what happened was, in the Oxford movement, the Jesuits actually went into Protestant seminaries and they were trained by the Protestants, came out of the Protestant seminaries, and then took churches in England, and under the guise of being Protestants, they slowly brought that church back to the Catholic Church. Now, this is what you're seeing today. And why, when you go to England with the Church of England, if you went to a Church in England service, you would not be able to tell it from a Catholic church. I mean, they are just right down the line together. Why? Because of the Oxford movement. You see it in America with the Lutherans. You see it with the Presbyterians. You see it with the American branch of the Church of England, which is called the Anglican Church. In England, it's called the Episcopalians over here. But in all those churches, which are Protestant churches, you see the Oxford movement and what they did by destroying the Reformation. And 200 years after Martin Luther's Reformation, the Protestant churches are as dead as doornails and just on their way back to the Catholic Church through the Oxford movement. And this is what you see now in America with the established European churches, not the American cult like we talked about Sunday, but this would be the American Protestant churches that came over, and all of them have been destroyed from that and are now on their way back to Rome. And the answer to that is, I mean, God never... I don't want to say this wrong. God never cared about those Protestant churches to begin with, to any real extent. God knew he was not going to reach the world through the landlocked countries of Europe that broke with Martin Luther. He understood that all that did, all the reformers did, was break the back of the Catholic Church, so then England could put shed of the Catholics and become Bible-believing, and then take the gospel to the ends of the world. And that's what was God's plan was. Now, the next thing that the Catholic Church did through the Jesuits is they started a counterfeit missionary movement to counter what England was doing. And they sent Jesuit missionaries all over the world to try to counter what God's Spirit was doing. It's that old concept that I tell you over and over and over and over and over and over again, is that when God moves, then the devil moves to counter it. And this is what he did. And so we see the counter. So we see these things happening all within the what we call the Counter-Reformation. Now, the Jesuits, they have their own pope. And most people don't know this. They are the not in a biblical way, but they are the church militant of the Catholic Church for the devil, let's put it that way. And they are the military arm of the Catholic Church that does exactly in Christianity and other churches what the CIA does in other countries. And you know, we get upset about, you know, we get upset about Russia and Ukraine and North Korea and Vietnam and all these because of the internal mess and unrest that that they do of overthrowing their own governments. And we make a big deal about that. The average American, I think the last count I had, and I used to keep up on this, I don't much anymore, but I think the last count I had is the United States of America had been part of directly, not indirectly, directly, over 60 overthrows of governments in around the world that we went in with our CIA operatives, formed a coup, dethroned the guy we didn't want, and then put the guy on that we wanted, thinking that he would be more friendly toward the Western world, and that's what we do. Well, we do it with governments. The Jesuits do it with churches, and you know, and that's what they do, and they're still at it today. They're thriving today more than ever. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, we talk about outer space, and we talk about aliens and all that stuff, which we're going to get into here in a few minutes, hopefully. But right now, as we're having our Bible study tonight, the Catholic Church through the Jesuit system, you see, they're not just religious educators. The Jesuit, and this is what you got to understand: the Jesuits spill over into every aspect of America. And over in Rome, on one of the mountains over there, the Jesuits have the largest telescope and observatory almost in the world. And they are dedicated at that observatory. And these are Jesuits now. These are Jesuits that are astrophysics. They're Jesuits that have been trained in cosmology and all of that stuff. They exist for one reason, and that is to find life in outer space, if such life exists. And that's all that they do. And, of course, we know the answer to that. And you can't make this stuff up. The telescope that they have, and I forget, it's a centimeter, it's close to our 200-inch in Mount Palomar. The telescope that they have and the system that they do, and I forget exactly what the name of it is, but when you take the first letters of each one of it, the name of that telescope is Lucifer. I mean, come on, guys. You can't make this up. I mean, and they are tied in to American astrophysics and astronomers with the SETI program, and they are searching the cosmos. I'm going to have to staple this to my chest here. That would hurt. They are searching the cosmos for life in outer space. And you know as well as I do that when life in outer space does finally show up here any moment, these are the people that are going to find it. This is where it's going to be connected. And there is so much, and I'm not a conspiracy guy, okay? I'm not. I'm just not. I have heard every, seen every, experienced every conspiracy for the last 50 years, and I can sell you some really good ones. But I'm not a conspiracy guy. I have to focus everything I believe on the foundation and fundamentals found in the Word of God, and then you have to build it from there. One of the things about conspiracies that you're going to find all the time is the fact that they have no root base of truth. A conspiracy guy, no matter what his conspiracy is, and there's a thousand of them out there, a conspiracy guy is a guy who, when he sees the facts, he calls it a hoax, but for his conspiracy, he never gives you any facts. And that's the typical, you know, brainwashed mindset that you find in dealing with that. But I am telling you, there's some really weird stuff that goes on in that Vatican over there with the Catholic Church. And I don't have all the answers to it. I know that the Vatican is one of the most incredible, mysterious things that you're going to find anywhere on this planet. I saw a thing a while back that was done by unsaved guys. This wasn't done by saved people who were, got an axe to grind with the Catholic Church. This was done just by archaeologists who were investigating things from a historical, archaeological aspect. You would not believe how much of the Vatican and everything that is over there is built on Baal's temples, that in the under the foundation of these things that are what we call the Vatican, the Basilica, and all those things, he actually went down and took you and showed you the ancient altars of Baal that these things are built on. That fits right into what Constantine did in 300 AD or 325 or 313, and it's incredible. They also, take this for whatever it's worth, they also claim to have a machine that will allow you to view back in history. It's not a time machine that you can travel back in history, but it is an apparatus that will actually show you a picture of something back in history. Now, whether that is true or not, that is a counterfeit of what you find in the Bible, what God did with what we know as the unum and the thunum. Most people have no idea what the unum and the thunum was. It was an instrument that God gave the nation of Israel. Every other thing that they had, they were given directions and they had to make it. The unum and the thunum, which means lights and perfection, it was given to them by God. Nobody made it. God and the high priest kept it in a chest pack, an ephod on his clothes. When you find it, it was something that had letters of the Hebrew alphabet on it, and there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And every time, and you only find it like two, maybe three times in the Bible. But when you find it, Israel has a decision to make, and they don't know what the right decision would be. So when you find it in those three places, the priest or the high priest or whoever is going to that and asking it the question, and it looks like that the answer from God comes through that lights and perfection and spells out through the letters of the Hebrew alphabet what they're supposed to do. You only find it two or three times in the Bible, but that is what they're doing. They're inquiring at it about a decision that they got to make. Now, there it is in David's time with what we have today in our modern day computer system. It's the same thing, except this one is by God. And they didn't make this. God gave it to them, and they used it that way. The Catholic Church, the devil crowd is always going to imitate something like that. And there is so much going on that is connected with outer space, that it's totally unbelievable. Now, and we'll come back to that in a moment. Now, the next thing that they did through the Counter-Reformation and the Oxford movement, and this is to the answer to your question here, is that the Catholics, through the Jesuit educational system, have taken control of all the news media, all of the rewriting of history. And what they have done is they have rewritten history from the Catholic perspective, showing that these Bible-believing groups, like the Waldensians, the Albigensians, the Baptists, and the Anabaptists, they portray them one or two ways. And when you get on the internet and you look them up, they will portray them as heretic groups that were way out there, or they'll portray them as groups that were inconnected with the Catholic Church. Hence, you find them doing Ash Wednesday from their perspective. They have completely rewritten history to mask the true Bible-believing church and to show anybody who wants to investigate it, send them down the wrong road. That's exactly what they've done. If you want to find the truth about those Bible-believing groups, you can't get online and do it. And this is the great mistake most people make. You have to go back and get the works that were done in spite of what the Jesuits were trying to do. And there's some really good works out there. One of them is called The Lights in the Dark, Lights in the Darkness, which was the Lights Believers in the Dark Ages. Another one is one that we have in our bookstore on the history of the Waldensians. Dr. Ruckman's books on church history, volume 1 and volume 2. Everything you could want is right there. But so what you do is you find them rewriting history from the standpoint that today in the 21st century, when you try to investigate it, they have connected them back to Rome. And it's all through that subtle attempt of the Counter-Reformation to bring everything back to Rome. And they did it through those number of ways that I showed you tonight. And are full force going ahead tonight as we speak in every aspect, except they're on different levels now. And that brings me to two events that happened this week that I got bombarded with people asking me what I thought, what's the Bible say, da 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 da. And I don't know how much you follow the news media of what goes on in the country. You ought to, but maybe you don't. I don't know. But two key events happened this week that will fit right into our current events of life on planet Earth. And one of them, President Trump did. The other one, Elon Musk did. And President Trump this week signed an executive order to release all of the rest of the JFK assassination material that they wouldn't let go. There have been cries. I mean, it happened over 70 years ago. I think it was 1963. I was 13 years old when it happened. I know exactly where I was. I was homesick that day from the eighth grade, and I was watching television. And I remember they broke in and said the president had been shot, da 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 da, and it all went down from there. I remember exactly where I was. It's one of those things where when certain things happen, you know, that are tragic things, you know, you never forget where you were when you heard that. You know, it's a thing. I remember exactly where I was when I was born. I was in the hospital. There's things like that that just impact your life. But anyway, you talk about a conspiracy. Unbelievable. I would say that the assassination of President Kennedy was the mother of conspiracies. I mean, it was incredible. And I went to Dallas probably, and it always, those kind of things always intrigue me. But again, I'm not a conspiracy guy. I always go back to the Bible as my baseline and then work it out from there. I had been following that for years. There was a book put out by Jim Garrison, and Jim Garrison was a New Orleans attorney, prosecutor, head of the prosecutor attorney, and he was the guy down there. And he is the only guy in the history that brought a case that President Kennedy was assassinated by the way that he said that he was. And he tied Lee Harvey Oswald back to conspiracy with the CIA and all this stuff, you know. And, you know, it was some of the most interesting stuff that you could ever get. And all you got to do is go on YouTube. I mean, you got to be, if you just want a night and it's raining and it's thundering and, you know, you got nothing to do, just get on there, man, and you can find everything. It's all interesting. It's all interesting. But you got to be careful with it because there's always somebody behind a conspiracy theory that wants to hide the truth from you. That's rule number one. The quicker you learn that, the smarter you will be. Conspiracy theories exist for a reason. Do you not think that there's not a mind behind everything that goes on in this country and in this world? And when something happens to that magnitude, the conspiracies help hide what really happened because it gets so disjointed and so chaotic that the real truth is hard to find. Then that's just what it is. And I'm telling you, the quicker you learn that, the better off you're going to be and the smarter you're going to be. It's just that simple. I learned that 40, 50 years ago, man. And I have looked at some conspiracies. And again, my baseline is always going to be the Bible. So, if you go to the bookstore over there, you'll find, I think there's a book and there's also a video that I did probably 35 years ago. I am much younger on that tape than I am now. But I took about, 20 weeks maybe on a Wednesday night for 20 weeks, 14, 15 weeks. And I laid out the complete assassination of JFK from the Bible. And I cut through all the conspiracy stuff. And the book that opened my eyes to this was probably on this event. And I read everything. I read the doctor's reports about the autopsies, how they didn't match in Dallas when they got him to Washington and they did the official autopsy. Somebody doctored the wounds. I read all that stuff. There's a movie on you ought to see. It's on, you can get it free on if you have the internet. It's called Parkland. Parkland. Parkland was the hospital that they took him to after he was shot. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And the book that opened my eyes to it was a book that was written by a guy by the name of Avro Manhattan. Avro Manhattan was the greatest authority on the Roman Catholic Church, probably in the history of the world. He wrote more books on the Catholic Church from the inside of what they were doing. And, you know, and the thing is, he died of a natural causes as an old guy. I mean, I'm surprised he ever made it that far. He wrote some of the most damaging books that the Catholic Church could never refute. He documents everything that he says. He was without a doubt the foremost authority on the Catholic Church in every aspect of it. I'm not talking about just the religious side of it. I'm talking about the business side of it. I'm talking about the corrupto side of it. I'm talking about the Jesuit side of it. And the greatest book that opened my eyes to the JFK assassination was a book that he wrote called Vietnam, Why Did We Go? It was, when I had wanted to do, based on the Bible, something about the assassination of Kennedy, because I had all of the pieces, but I didn't have the one thing that I needed. And when I read that book, I'll never forget it. When I read that book, it just like God turned the lights on. There it was. Now, every piece that I had blew the smoke of all the other conspiracies away and put it right in the Bible text, context of history, what we had here. Now, I said all that to say this. He signed an executive order, and you know, there's 80,000 documents that they never released. And the conspiracies always was, you know, about not only the assassination of him being killed, but also with Lee Harvey Oswald, who, you know, was the supposedly the lone assassin that shot Kennedy. And right out of the chute, there was a lot of things that didn't add up that fueled the conspiracy. And then what happens is they take that and they keep fanning it. And the bigger the conspiracy gets, it grows legs and it goes here and it goes there. And it's just like every conspiracy. You can find 40 different ideas on it, and all they do is are the smoke screen that masks the real truth of what happened. And so you had, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald. He was a Marine guy in the 50s. And he went to Japan, and he was a radar operator. And in the process, he defects to Russia. And he goes in and he tells the ambassador to Russia that he wants to be a Russian citizen. He defects to Russia and tells them that he's got secrets for all of the American radar. And Russia takes him in. He's in Russia for what? I don't know, 2 or 3 years. I can't remember. He marries some Russian gal. And then he decides he's going to come back to the United States. Now, what I'm saying is this is not conspiracy. This is fact truth. The conspiracy swells all around everything else, but you got to get right down to the baseline of what is and what isn't, and then just blow the smoke off the conspiracy. And what you have left is what you have left. So he decides to come back to the United States. He goes back to the embassy, says he wants to come back as an American citizen. Now this guy had defected and told them that he's going to give the secrets to the Russians. And now he wants to come back. Not only do they allow him to come back to the United States, he doesn't have the money to get to the United States. They lend him the money to get here and bring his wife, who is a Russian, with him. And then he gets connected with all this crowd down in New Orleans and all this stuff. You know, anybody know who the Rosenbaums were? Anybody? Yeah, you know who the Rosenbaums were. You know who the Rosenbaums were. Anybody else know who the Rosenbaums were? They made bagels in New Jersey. They were great, man. No. The Rosenbaums, her name was Evelyn, and I forget what his name was. They betrayed this country and sold secrets to the Russians. They put him in the gas chamber and executed him. Lee Harvey Oswald defects to Russia, tells him he's going to give him secrets on radar. And oh, by the way, while he was in Russia, supposedly giving them the radar secrets, Francis Gary Powers was flying a U-2 way over Russia, and somehow they finally tracked him and shot him down. Anyway, so the conspiracy theory was and still is that Oswald wasn't the lone nut that everybody thought he was, that he had been recruited by the CIA while he was in Japan, trained in Russian, and then sent to Russia to gather whatever information that he could, and then brought him back out of Russia with whatever information he had. Now, it was proven long after some 20, 30 years that he was connected with the CIA. I mean, there's no question about that. Now, I don't care about any of that. What I'm telling you that is this. There's a line here that you have to follow, that now today, or this last week, President Trump is signing an executive order that 80,000 pieces of material that they were not going to allow us to see, now you're going to be able to see it. Let me show you how stupid that is. Everybody's excited about it. All these researchers are going crazy. Everybody is thinking, oh boy, we're going to find the smoking gun. Now we're going to get, let me tell you something. Whatever the truth was behind the assassination of JFK, that was destroyed 50, 40, 60 years ago. The idea that they have held these 80,000 back, and now our government, who keeps secrets like unbelievable, you're going to trust them, but they're going to give you everything that they have. You're going to get exactly what they want you to have. But you see, this is how they operate. You got to see this. You got to see this aspect of conspiracy crap. This is how they do it. They give you a little bit, hold some back, you fight tooth and nail, I want it all, and then they make you think you got it all. You ain't got nothing. You got what they want you to have. And the truth of the matter is, the source trail is in that book. Why Vietnam? Why did we go? Wow. There it is. It's clear as day, tracking it all the way back to the turn of the century, running it right through to where, not only where we were in Kennedy's day, but where you're at today. You have the reason he was assassinated, you have who assassinated him, you have who covered it up, and you have who was really behind it. And what were the assets that they used? You had the conspiracy that he was only the one lone gunman. And yet, he made three world-class shots with an old broken-down Italian Carcano rifle that is probably the worst weapon the world has ever seen. It shoots a 6.5 cartridge, ain't worth nothing. He bought it from Klein Sporting Goods for $14. Several FBI sharpshooters from the same perch in the depository at the sandbags they put down there tried to duplicate the shots. Not one of them could do it. And Lee Harvey Oswald was one of the worst shots in the Marine Corps, according to his records. Things just don't add up. Now, I don't care. The bottom line is, I understand how the conspiracies always bubble up, and they fan them. They want them to keep going. They want you to add to it. They want everybody out there on the internet to come up with this, come up with that, come up, because all that smoke covers the truth. And that's what they do. And I was 13 years old. The official report says that he shot all three from the book depository, and one shooter. People said that were World War II veterans that they heard shots coming from the grassy knoll behind them. They discredited that and said, no, there was no assassination attempt by multiple shooters. It was just Lee Harvey Oswald. I was 13 years old. I was sitting there. I wasn't really that sick, but I stayed home. But I remember I was sitting on the couch, gnawing on my fudgesicle. And on the thing came the news broadcast. We interrupt this program to bring you a message, and it was Walter Cronkite. And he had talked about the fact that President Kennedy had just been assassinated, and he said on the air that from the witnesses, the shots came from the grassy knoll behind him. That was the first reports. But then the first reports from Roswell in 1947 was that they found an alien spacecraft, and then 24 hours later, it was a weather balloon. See how it works? So, the idea is, and the conspiracy is, that it was all Lee Harvey Oswald. As the conspiracies develop and keep on going, you find out that that probably was not true. My point is simply this. This is how they do it. In the world that we live in America anyhow, you might as well face it. Other than this book, you will get no truth. You're never going to get the truth of what happens. Somebody says, well, I'm really excited. They're going to release 80,000 pages. I'd be excited to see 80,000 pages out of the Roswell, New Mexico deal. That's what I want to see. That was the first thing that happened. Second thing that everybody got all upset about was the fact that we had two astronauts that were stranded at the space station for 9 months. Now, this is what I'm about to tell you. I don't really care about the being stranded up there. I mean, I do, but I don't. I mean, it's a thing where I want you to see how that they lie to you. Now, the book that I read that pulls all this stuff together is a book that was written by a guy by the name of Emil Gemelik. 40 years ago, he came to Kansas City, Kansas, and he gave a lecture. I was sitting in the front row. And he wrote a book, which I have. And the name of the book was Did Genesis Man Conquer Space? One of the most eye-opening books that I have ever read in my life, of telling you and showing you that the times they were in Genesis, they were doing the same things. Genesis 6, they were doing the same things we're doing today. And it all got wiped out by the flood. And of course, puts whole new relevance to, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. What does that exactly mean now? That means whatever they were doing today, they were doing back then. And don't forget, Ecclesiastes says, there is nothing new under the sun. When the Antichrist shows up, he's going to come down from outer space through the Lucifer Jesuit mindset, and that's how he's going to come. Now, I don't fully understand how it all is working right now, but I will tell you this. NASA couldn't get him down. So we have a guy now who is the genius of just about everything on planet Earth. He's making brain implants that he'll put into somebody's brain who is paralyzed that now they can walk. He's got an electric car, even though they're burning them. Isn't that the craziest thing? I mean, the Democrats for the last 4 years were screaming about gas cars and they have to have electric cars. Here's a guy who makes the best electric car on the planet. And because he's associated with Trump, now they're all against electric cars and they're burning these dealerships and they're setting the cars on fire. What is wrong with this country? Oh, I'll tell you that in a minute. I always, and let me just say this, I don't think for a moment that Elon Musk is the Antichrist. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that Trump's the Antichrist. There are people that believe that these two guys are the Antichrist. If you believe that, because you don't know anything about your Bible, because the Antichrist, the Bible tells you about the Antichrist, everything you need to know, and where he's going to come from, and everything you need to know, then know that they ain't them. But that's beside the point. They certainly are setting everything up for what's going on. Because when the Antichrist does come, or the, it all happens, the sons of God, whatever the case, it's going to come from outer space. So we are already connected with outer space. These people were stuck up there for 9 months. And we couldn't get them down. I've always thought if anybody was ever going to be connected with the Antichrist, he's going to have to be three things going for him. One, he's going to have to be mega rich. Two, he's going to have communication skills that reach the world. And three, he's going to have to be connected to outer space. And whether God's people know it or not, right now the devil is flaunting everything in front of us. And God's people are so absolutely stupid because we have no Bible that we don't see it. The moment he got in prominence, and we talked about this before, he got, what did he buy? It was, who? Twitter, yeah. What's the first thing he did? He changed it to the name X. And we talked about words that end in X and how that's connected. I think he's got one of his kids named that. So now we got these guys stranded up here. We can't get them down. Da 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 da. He's got his own space program that probably, how could it be better than NASA? But it is. Now I watched this thing because I had to see this. Now, there are people who don't believe that there's a space thing up there, space station. Me and two other guys photographed it about 15 years ago. If you know how to do it, it's in a low orbit. It isn't like it's out there in Mars someplace. We actually photographed it. You got to know, during the daytime, you got to know what you're doing, you got to be precise with the coordinates, and it only passes over, you got to have a complete setup. Believe me, it wasn't me by myself. The other guys really knew what they were doing. I just was part of it. Well, anyway. So he gets them down. And when he gets them down from outer space, he has a rocket that is a X rocket and a capsule on the rocket that is called the Dragon, which is Isaiah 27, verse 1, if you know anything about your Bible. The great dragon in the sea. See? C-C-C-6-C-C-C. And I see all that and I think to myself, you can't make this stuff up. And when he comes down and the parachutes open, four big parachutes, and there on the top is X, 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 right in front of everybody's face. Now, the fallacy of all that is simply this. This is why man will never get to Mars before the Lord comes back. Back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 18, when God gave man dominion, he gave him dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and the things that creep on the earth. but he never gave him dominion over outer space. And the reason for that is Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1. It's somebody else's domain. I was part of an organization at one time that they would send me clips, and you would not believe the astronauts that we sent up from Mercury to Apollo to whatever. And you would not believe the things that they recorded, that they reported, that NASA was never going to let out. I heard a recording one time that was picked up in Australia, this has been years ago, by two radio ham operators that was monitoring, and however they did it, two cosmonauts was up in the orbit, and they died in orbit. They never got them down. Russia was in such a hurry to beat America in the space race. She cares so little about life that she actually went over the safety measures to send people up when she shouldn't have, and there's a number of them that died up there that nobody here knows about. These guys happened to tap in, however they did it. And you know, if you're a ham operator, you get what you call skip, which you can pick up languages from another crossing. Anyway, whatever happened is, they recorded this. I heard the recording. They recorded it of what these people's last time, moments, hours were before they died. And there was definitely something that was they were seeing that was not of this world. I mean, do what you want to do with it. I know this. I know when the Antichrist comes, he's going to come down from outer space. Genesis chapter 6 tells us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. And I know that us being out there right now and doing all the things that we're doing is going to be the latch pin or the key that's going to pull it all together, along with what the Jesuits are doing with the Pope scope. This is how they lie to you. Even Musk. Musk says, Trump says, everybody says they want to plan a mission to Mars in 10, 15 years. These people were up there for 9 months. It shows you how ridiculously stupid and how gullible people are. They were in a zero gravity atmosphere for 9 months. The zero gravity atmosphere affects the human body to such a degree that it renders it pretty much useless. If you saw them being taken out of the capsule, they couldn't walk. They say that it's going to take at least 2 months for them to get rehabilitated, that they can function like they were back before they left, because now they went from zero gravity to our gravity. They had to drink I don't know how many gallons of liquids to get their body up so that when they got into a gravity situation, it wouldn't have caused them any problems. Their hearts have problems. They can't walk. Their legs shrink. They have to do 2 hours of exercise every day up there just to stay with the minimum. And in 9 months, it's going to take them to get back to a normal life. After 9 months of being in space, a trip to Mars is going to be over 3 years. The closest Mars gets is 36 million miles away. You're traveling at 17,000 miles an hour, maybe a little faster than that. Let's say you can pull 20,000 miles an hour. You know how long it's going to take you to get there? Then when you finally get there, what are you going to do? Just plant a flag and come home? You're going to be there for quite a while. By the time you chart your trip back, Mars is going to be out of opposition, and now she's going to be closer to 136 million miles away. So you're looking at 3 years plus. If this is what happens in 9 months, what happens in 3.5 years? Not only do you have that effect, but you see, they're in a low orbit. So the radiation that they have to deal with is what we call solar radiation, which comes from the sun, which can be very deadly. If you're in a spaceship up there and a sun has a solar sunburst, it'll not only fry your communications and kill, but it'll kill everybody in the spacecraft. That almost happened a couple of times with their astronauts up there, but they've been lucky. But you get out of Earth's low atmosphere and you get out there in what we call the solar system, now you have cosmic radiation. Now, cosmic radiation is the reason why God told man he can't have in outer space. When we get into Psalms 19 here, probably in another year, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament show of his handiwork. I'm going to show you the source of cosmic radiation and why God told man he can't be in outer space because of it. Cosmic radiation will destroy your brain cells. You'd have to have a rocket ship that weighed 150 million tons of lead steel to block it out. The average thin skin of the space shuttle or whatever one of those things are is paper thin. And they're going to be 3.5 years in a constantly bombarded. Some of the astronauts that were up there that were around the moon or went around up there, they complained of seeing lights going through their brains, like flashes of light, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And then when they got back and they analyzed it, it was the cosmic radiation that was affecting their brain by going through it. You can't live in outer space. God didn't intend man to do that because of the cosmic radiation. The solar radiation is bad enough. The cosmic radiation will fry your brain. And what you'll have by the time you go 3.5 years or so and come back is you'll have however many astronauts you send up, you'll have vegetables. And that's the reason why what you saw this week, in both cases, the Kennedy files, you're going to get exactly what they want you to have. And when this thing 9 months up there and they came back and they can't even walk, their hearts, they got to be put in isolation. They have to be carried out of the space because 9 months they destroyed their physical bodies to the point because they were someplace God didn't want them to be. In 9 months, what are you going to do in 3 years? See, all this stuff is disinformation. And then when they add the conspiracies to it, it just keeps smoking bigger and bigger and hiding the basic truth of what you have. And the only way you can slice through that is through the Word of God. If you don't think the Word of God doesn't tell you about outer space and what it is and how you can exist and can't exist and why man will never make it, you underestimate the greatest book the world has ever seen. The God of the Bible is also the God of the universe. And so, you know, I got a lot of these things this week, and I talked to them, and I told them, I said, you know, it really, I mean, it's exciting. I enjoy it. It's innovative to me. That's my world. I like the things like that. I like the challenges. But I'm not under any illusion that anybody's giving me any truth. What it is giving me is the truth, but not from them. The truth based on the Word of God or what God said about outer space and what NASA says about it, or Musk says about it. And you give me a guy who's connected with billions of dollars, can put all kinds of stuff around the world in a split second, and then he's connected to outer space, and his rocket is an X-ship with a capsule called the Dragon? Are you kidding me? Oh, man. We live in some great, exciting times, and I am not kidding you. But you got to have a player. It's like going, you know, most people are like going to a football game that they don't know anybody on the team and they're just watching a bunch of guys run around with numbers on their back and don't know who's doing what. That's the way most people look at life. You got to get you the program of life that tells you who the players are and shows you the numbers and gives you their stats. And then you can get something done. So, all right. Well, we'll hold up there. Good questions. We got a few more. We'll finish up next week. But don't get caught up in all this stuff you see, man. Go back to the book. The book will have the final answer on it and give you everything you need to know. Just remember what I told you. Conspiracies exist by the devil's hand for one reason. Always to hide the truth from you. So, all right, well, let's pray and we'll be out of here. Don't forget, Jamie will be up here someplace. She's out there someplace. She'll get your applications up here for volleyball. Volleyball is coming in really good. Oh, by the way, we got 5 weeks in this month. So to make it all even out, our next pattern class is going to be Saturday, March 30th instead of the 1st, because that'll throw us off. So we got five